This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The television version of the show airs on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. In addition to the high-profile presidential race on the November 8th ballot, Californians will be asked to decide on a large number of ballot measures. One of them, Proposition 61, is the focus of a huge battle over prescription drug prices. Pharmaceutical companies have been protected under the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, from having their drug prices slashed. Large state governments like California have been unable to use their purchasing clout to negotiate lower prices. But if Proposition 61 passes, that will change. Prop 61 has received high-profile support from former presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, but Big Pharma is fighting back by spending more than $100 million to defeat the measure, claiming that the costs of drugs for veterans and other patients would rise if Prop 61 were to pass. Well, joining me to bring clarity on the whole topic is Paul Song, a board-certified radiation oncologist. He's on the board of Physicians for National Health Program. He's also the healthcare correspondent for Rising Up with Sonali. Welcome back to the show, Paul.
Always great to be back.
So first, exactly what would Proposition 61 do? Let's set aside the scare tactics, the fear-mongering. What would it do specifically for the state government in California? And can you explain if it'll also have an impact on individuals looking to purchase prescription drugs?
So, first and foremost, I think that both sides have made some claims that this will affect more people than it really will. It's really designed for anybody who gets their health insurance or drugs paid for by the government. So that's generally Medi-Cal patients, some patients who get their coverage through CalPERS. But the reality is that what this initiative is designed to do is the VA, the Veterans Administration Health Program, currently enjoys the best drug discounts of any sort of major purchaser of drugs. And this is designed so that California would be able to pay no more than what the VA pays for their medications for their service people. But the problem is this, that Prop 61 exempts a lot of our Medi-Cal HMOs because they are already having their drug prices negotiated by the private insurers that manage the manage their benefits. And same thing with a lot of people who get their coverage through CalPERS. You know, many of them have private health insurance through CalPERS, whether it be through Kaiser or others. And a lot of these big insurers are already negotiating prices. So the number of actual people who will benefit from this is much, much smaller than the insurance industry or the pharmaceutical industry would lead you to believe. And it certainly would not have any impact on you or I if we get our coverage through our employers.
So essentially, should we be looking at it then, broadly speaking, as a tax dollar saving measure? That because our government, the state government, is paying far higher prices than it should for these drugs, far higher prices than the VA is paying, that by this proposition passing, it would save the California taxpayer money?
Correct. So that's the sort of the uncertainty. No one on either side is absolutely sure how much money this is going to save. As I mentioned, a lot of the people that get their health coverage paid for in some shape or form by the state of California have their health benefits managed through a private insurer. And a lot of these private insurers, the way that they make it profitable is they exact savings in the way they negotiate directly. So the very few people who maybe have straight Medi-Cal that is not managed by a Medi-Cal HMO may see some cost savings in their prescription drugs. Certainly this is going to save some degree of money, but the question of how much is not clear.
Now, let's talk about the claims being made by the no on Prop 61 folks. I understand that this one proposition out of the dozen or so that are on the ballot has had the most money spent on it, which sort of makes you wonder, you know, what the big fear is. $110 million so far and counting has been spent on this one proposition, the majority of it from the no on 61 side. One of the most common claims we're seeing is that VA benefits, VA prescription drug prices would go up if Prop 61 were to pass. It implies that built into the language of Prop 61 is something that would require VA drug prices to increase. What's the reality?
Well, the reality is the Department of Veterans Administration is a very big purchaser of healthcare and pharmaceuticals, and they have the ability to negotiate, in some instances, 40% lower prices. Now, what people don't realize is the VA actually has a very limited formulary. So a lot of the drugs that maybe you or I or other Californians may want may not even be offered on the Veterans Administration formulary. What happens is a pharmaceutical company goes to the VA and says, we will give you a 40% discount, but guess what? You cannot use any other drug in this class. And that's how the VA extracts benefits. So the idea that somehow this is going to really hurt the Veterans Administration is ludicrous. They're one of the largest purchasers of pharmaceuticals, and they can continue to use that market share. The fact that this somehow pharmaceutical industry will try to pass this on to veterans is absolutely false. The veterans are such a big market. The pharmaceutical industry would never walk away from that. So that is one of probably the biggest misconceptions that's out there. The idea that it all of a sudden would make drugs unavailable for you and I is, again, simply not true. What I would encourage all of your listeners to do, as you mentioned, is they're spending $110 million to defeat this. This is sort of the firewall to them, because they see this as sort of citizens finally fighting back against the pharmaceutical industry that has been gouging people left and right with no help from our elected officials, who are, many of them are beholden to the pharmaceutical industry. So they feel that if California moves forward and gets this successfully passed, as little as it does in terms of the impact, the potential repercussions of this spreading nationwide are what scares them more than anything.
And now, Paul, I got a mailer, which I know many people are getting stacks and stacks of mailers on the propositions. I got this mailer from Minority News, Committee to Protect the Political Rights of Minorities, that had a large ad saying Proposition 61, bad for patients, bad for veterans. And on it was none other than Alice Huffman, president of the California NAACP, who is quoted as saying Prop 61 excludes 88% of Californians, including 10 million low-income patients and Medi-Cal, patients covered by Obamacare, and 20 million with private health insurance. For the few it does cover, Prop 61 will increase prescription drug costs and reduce access to widely needed medicines. Please join NAACP California in voting no on 61. Right next to her is a veteran, a black veteran, whose photograph is next to him, Lamont Duncan, who says, veterans sacrifice so much, this initiative would be terrible for veterans. They'd have to pay more for prescription drugs. I was shocked when I saw this.
Well, again, I would ask your listeners to do some homework and dig deeper and look at follow the money.
Is the California NAACP in the pocket of Big Pharma?
The author of that mailer, she is. Her consulting company has received a substantial amount of money from Big Pharma to fight this initiative. And unfortunately, she's been able to convince some members of the NAACP that this is against their best interests. The reality is the pharmaceutical industry has been very, very clever in terms of who they've hired as consultants on this. It is such a broad swath. In addition to just really buying off a lot of our legislators who have failed to do any meaningful reform or pass any legislation, they've become very insidious in terms of all of the various veteran support groups, medical groups, quote, patient advocacy groups. They have donated heavily to each of these organizations, as well as this person from the NAACP. And I would just say that's all in the public domain. If you actually Google that, you'll see very in-depth reporting that has shown that she has received a substantial amount of consulting payments to oppose this.
This is Alice Huffman, president of California NAACP. Now, on the other side, in addition to yourself, Paul, you've written about this in the Huffington Post, urging people to vote for this proposition. You have Bernie Sanders, presidential candidate, really now considered, at least by many on the left, as a progressive hero. Why is this so important to a senator from Vermont?
Well, again, I think if anyone has a moral authority and track record of fighting on behalf of patients and the average American, it would be Senator Sanders. And he really raised the issue of rising healthcare costs and pharmaceutical costs during the course of his campaign. And so this is very consistent with things that he's been fighting for. I think this is, he would even admit that this is one small step, but it is a positive step to fight back against the obscene drug prices. You know that in the United States, sadly, 22% of seniors cannot afford to get their prescription filled strictly because of cost. We pay 40% more for drugs in the United States than we do in Canada, 75% more than they do in Japan, and 300% more than they do in Denmark. And at the same time, you know, it is our taxpayer dollars that many times fund the initial research and development of many of the drugs that go on to be used to gouge the American public.
Right. I mean, isn't the pharmaceutical industry saying that if Proposition 61 were to pass, it would stymie their efforts, hamper their ability to do research and development for new drugs?
Well, that's another fallacy. Pharmaceutical industries spend way more on marketing and advertising than they do on research and development. And it now is that 80% of every R&D dollar spent on pharmaceuticals is taxpayer funded. The other thing that people need to realize is that the large big companies no longer do any innovation on their own. They are sitting on huge amounts of money and become strictly marketing companies. They snap up little innovative companies that are doing tremendous research and then turn around and gouge the public. Just recently, for those in California, UCLA, with the help of taxpayer grants and funds, developed a very promising drug for prostate cancer. They turned around and sold it to a big pharmaceutical company for over $1 billion. And now that is being passed on to consumers. We have to spend $129,000 a year to treat people with prostate cancer when in reality, the initial funding for this was from our own taxpayer dollars.
Wow. And also, you know, we have the Martin Shkreli's of the world, the manufacturer of the EpiPen, that Mylan, which has really taken advantage of what seems to be a kind of wild west on prescription drug prices, that they just have this ability to shoot up prices. And why is that? Did they get cover from the Affordable Care Act to be able to charge outrageous prices? And of course, keeping in mind that Prop 61 wouldn't impact prices for the general public that are already covered by private health insurance companies.
Right. So the big basic reason why our drug prices are so outrageous compared to any other industrialized nation is that close collusion that occurred between the pharmaceutical industry and our elected officials. And this went initially back to George W. Bush and the Republican-led Congress that passed Medicare Part D. In the run-up to that, at that time, there was a Louisiana representative, Billy Towson, who crafted this legislation for Medicare Part D. And in it, it forbid Medicare from negotiating drug prices to get discounts for their seniors. And so that was the start of it. And then in the run-up to the Affordable Care Act, The then Billy Towson, who was no longer a congressman, became the head of the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Association at a cost of, and he was paid $2 million a year, negotiated with the White House behind closed doors, and basically said, we will do everything to support the Affordable Care Act. We will even fund you for that, but do not touch drug prices. Do not allow negotiation of drug prices to be part of the Affordable Care Act. In addition to that, they were also able to get stronger patent protections, not allow reimportation of drugs from Canada. So all of this was happening behind the scenes, and people wonder with the Affordable Care Act, why are my drug prices continuing to climb? Why is there no recourse? And that's one of the reasons why, that the pharmaceutical industry had basically bought off both the White House as well as our elected officials in Congress to get this passed.
And so, of course, the need for a federal regulation of prescription drug prices is still huge. But staying on the ACA for a minute, you've been a very strong critic of the ACA and a proponent of single-payer healthcare, while also admitting, of course, that it's better than what we had before, which is simply a private insurance free-for-all. Right now, we have two presidential candidates, one who wants to keep the ACA as is, and the other of whom wants to repeal it entirely. However, we just heard news this week that the health insurance premiums for those people who have Obamacare plans is going to rise a whopping 22% to 25%. What's behind this? And of course, the timing for Hillary Clinton isn't very good.
Yes. So, you know, again, I want to point out that there were a lot of good things in the Affordable Care Act, but I've always said all along that this was basically written by the private insurance industry, and what you're seeing is this is absolutely the case. So we just found out from healthcare.gov that anybody who's purchasing coverage on the exchange, the average premium will go up about 25%. Now, the White House is trying to spin this by saying, well, the premium support for each, most of the people will continue to climb. So very few people will actually see more out-of-pocket expenses who are eligible for a subsidy. But if you're looking for those people between the 400% and above poverty line, that is definitely more money coming out of their pocket. At the same time, not only are premiums going up, more and more people who get their coverage on the exchange are being asked to pay more in terms of co-pays and deductibles. The fact of the matter is you have a lot of insurers who participated in the exchange who have lost a lot of money, at least that's their claim, and have pulled out. So you have less competition, and the existing insurers in the exchange, in some markets there's only one insurer now, are scrambling to basically meet the costs, because people who are signing up tend to be the sicker ones, the invincibles, the 26 to 30 year olds. A lot of them have not signed up. A lot of the healthier folks have not signed up. So you haven't had that cost sharing or the expansion of a risk pool the way that it was designed to work. And this gets back to the whole premise of what I've said is, you know, the Affordable Care Act, while it did do some good things, it really is corporate welfare, where the government is giving money to people who don't have coverage, but forcing them to buy a product from a for-profit industry that only makes money by denying care. So when they say premiums are going up 25%, but we're going to cover most of that by giving you more premium support, that's just more of corporate welfare for the insurers that are remaining in the exchange.
Wow. Well, Paul, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure to be on. Thank you so much.
Paul Song is a board-certified radiation oncologist. He's on the Board of Physicians for a National Health Program and the healthcare correspondent for Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can also find us on Twitter at twitter.com/ruwithsonali.